Chapter 32.
Emergency! Emergency!
Blared the klaxons throughout Magrathea.
Hostile ship has landed on planet. Armed intruders in Section 8A. Defense stations! Defense stations!
The two mice sniffed irritably round the fragments of their glass transports, where they lay shattered on the floor.
Damnation! Muttered Frankie Mouse. All that fuss over 2 pounds of earthling brain.
He scuttled round and about, his pink eyes flashing, his fine white coat bristling with static.
The only thing we can do now,
said Benji, crouching and stroking his whiskers in thought,
is to try and fake a question, invent one that will sound plausible.
Difficult, said Frankie.
He thought.
How about, what's yellow and dangerous?
Benji considered this for a moment.
No, no good, he said. Doesn't fit the answer.
They sank into silence for a few seconds.
All right, said Benji. What do you get if you multiply 6 by 7? No, no, too literal, too factual, said Frankie. Wouldn't sustain the punter's interest.
Again they thought.
Then Frankie said,
Here's a thought. How many roads must a man walk down? Ah, said Benji. Aha! Now that does sound promising.
He rolled the phrase around a little.
Yes, he said. That's excellent. Sounds very significant without actually tying you down to meaning anything at all. How many roads must a man walk down? 42. Excellent. Excellent. That'll fox 'em. Frankie, baby, we are made.
They performed a scampering dance in their excitement. Near them on the floor lay several rather ugly men who had been hit about the head with some heavy design awards. Half a mile away, 4 figures pounded up a corridor looking for a way out. They emerged into a wide open-plan computer bay. They glanced about wildly.
Which way do you reckon, Zaphod? Said Ford.
And a wild guess, I'd say down here, said Zaphod, running off down to the right between a computer bank and the wall.
As the others started after him, he was brought up short by a kilozap energy bolt that cracked through the air inches in front of him and fried a small section of adjacent wall.
A voice on a bullhorn said, Okay, Beeblebrox, hold it right there. We've got you covered.
Cops, hissed Zaphod, and spun around in a crouch.
You want to try a guess at all, Ford?
Okay, this way, said Ford,
and the four of them ran down a gangway between 2 computer banks. At the end of the gangway appeared a heavily armoured and space-suited figure waving a vicious kilozap gun.
We don't want to shoot you, Beeblebrox, shouted the figure.
Suits me fine, shouted Zaphod back,
and dived down a wide gap between 2 data process units. The others swerved in behind him.
There are 2 of them, said Trillian. We're cornered.
They squeezed themselves down in an angle between a large computer data bank and the wall. They held their breath and waited.
Suddenly, the air exploded with energy bolts as both the cops opened fire on them simultaneously.
Hey, they're shooting at us, said Arthur, crouching in a tight ball. I thought they said they didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I thought they said that, agreed Ford. Zaphod stuck a head up for a dangerous moment.
Hey, he said, I thought you said you didn't want to shoot us,
and ducked again. They waited. After a moment, a voice replied,
It isn't easy being a cop.
What did he say?
Whispered Ford in astonishment.
He said it isn't easy being a cop. Well, surely that's his problem, isn't it?
I'd have thought so.
Ford shouted out, Hey, listen, I think we've got enough problems of our own having you shooting at us. So if you could avoid laying your problems on us as well, I think we'd all find it easier to cope.
Another pause,
and then the bullhorn again.
"Now see here, guy," said the voice. "You're not dealing with any dumb two-bit trigger-pumping morons with low hairlines, little piggy eyes, and no conversation. We're a couple of intelligent, caring guys that you'd probably quite like if you met us socially. I don't go around gratuitously shooting people and then bragging about it afterward in seedy Space Rangers bars like some cops I could mention. I go around shooting people gratuitously and then I agonize about it afterwards for hours to my girlfriend."
"And I write novels," chimed in the other cop. "Though I haven't had any of them published yet, so I better warn you, I'm in a mean mood."
Ford's eyes popped halfway out of their sockets.
"Who are those guys?" he said.
"Dunno," said Zaphod. "I think I preferred it when they were shooting."
"So are you going to come quietly," shouted one of the cops again, "or are you going to let us blast you out?"
"Which would you prefer?" shouted Ford.
A millisecond later, the air about them started to fry again as bolt after bolt of Kilozap hurled itself into the computer bank in front of them. The fusillade continued for several seconds at unbearable intensity. When it stopped, there were a few seconds of near quietness as the echoes died away.
"You still there?" called one of the cops.
"Yes," they called back.
"We didn't enjoy doing that at all," shouted the other cop.
"We could tell," shouted Ford.
"Now listen to this, Beeblebrox, and you better listen good."
"Why?" shouted back Zaphod.
"Because," shouted the cop, "it's going to be very intelligent and quite interesting and humane. Now, either you all give yourselves up now, and let us beat you up a bit, though not very much, of course, because we are firmly opposed to needless violence, or we blow up this entire planet and possibly one or two others we noticed on our way out here."
"But that's crazy," cried Trillian. "You wouldn't do that."
"Oh, yes, we would," shouted the cop. "Wouldn't we?" he asked the other one.
"Oh, yes, we'd have to. No question," the other one called back.
"But why?" demanded Trillian.
"Because there are some things you have to do, even if you are an enlightened liberal cop who knows all about sensitivity and everything."
"I just don't believe these guys," muttered Ford, shaking his head.
One cop shouted to the other,
"Shall we shoot them again for a bit?"
"Yeah, why not?"
They let fly another electric barrage. The heat and noise was quite fantastic. Slowly, the computer bank was beginning to disintegrate. The front had almost all melted away, and thick rivulets of molten metal were winding their way back toward where they were squatting. They huddled farther back and waited for the end.